The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's wrong. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, that's a great start to the sermon. Mostly because I'm really excited about it, and it actually proves a point. As you probably gathered, we're sitting here beginning to prepare for Lent, right? There's a lot of stuff about sin. Everybody shies away from sin. Everybody shies away from talking about it. To me, there seems to be a big disconnect in the church and the world at large. On the one hand, you have everything's good, everything's valid. You have this idea that Christ died for us, and since he did that, everything's cool. On the other hand, you have you're white, so you're racist. You're male, so you're misogynist. You're civilized, so you're hateful. You name it. It's a constant contradiction, right? Let me ask a very simple question and why this matters. Who's really, really good at something? Raise your hand. Here's a hint. You should all raise your hand. People that are good at math, do you think they were born that way? No. They had to learn 2 plus 2 just like everybody else. They had to learn addition and subtraction, multiplication and division, before they could go into things like architectural equations for buildings to make sure the structures are sound, before they went into fields like particle physics, chaos theory, string theory, God particles. In my case, it was volleyball. I was actually gifted because of my height, not necessarily because of my speed or anything else. And when you first saw me play volleyball, I was terrible. But I had a passion for it. I began to learn the fundamentals. I practiced every day. I played whenever I could. And I became very good. I was someone who had a 95 mile an hour spike. I was someone who 2 weeks into the choosing of players at IPFW walked in and beat out 62 people for 2 spots. I got to the point where I made it to the 4th to the last cut to play on the junior national team in high school. I wasn't born with that skill. Why do I bring this up? Because Christianity. We actually started watching the series The Chosen in Bible study, which is a phenomenal series. I highly recommend it to everyone. Shameless plug, Jill actually sells it at the bookstore for $27 a copy, right? Do yourself a favor. Go get a copy. Share it with friends. It really is an amazing series. But what I want to talk about is the reaction the first night. So many people sitting there. Now, I came downstairs halfway through the first viewing. But so many people sitting there. We finished the thing. I asked for thoughts and comments. Overwhelmingly, it was, I don't get it. I didn't understand it. My response to that was, read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. I read my Bible all the time. No, you don't. You can't read your Bible all the time and not understand what was going on in that service or in that series. You can't. Sorry. And it's incredibly sad. I came in halfway through. I knew who Mary Magdalene was. I knew who Simon and Peter were by the actions and mannerisms of their life. Do you see what I'm getting at here? I'm driving home a point Baptism is the normal entrance into the Christian faith. That's not where it ends. That is where it begins. Why is it so important to know about Leviticus? We don't use those laws anyway. No. We don't have to obey those laws. But we do in fact still use them. You heard that in the gospel today. Not one letter, not one stroke will pass away from the Word of God. That's a significant saying. We shy away from hard things, from difficult things. We don't want to talk about them. I read my Bible. I'm sure that you do. But you don't pay attention, do you? And I'm not calling you out on that. Please understand me. I'm not calling you out on that. I don't sometimes pay attention when I read my Bible either. That's human nature. But I read it because I have to do things the same way that I learned how to do math. I have to do things the same way that I became a great volleyball player. I have to do things because knowledge is built upon knowledge. I recognize the people that were in the first series episode because I knew the mannerisms that I saw in the Bible. I knew them because of familiarity. That's why you've heard me talk about sin before, right? Sin actually kind of reads into our lessons today pretty prevalently in Isaiah. You do these things on the outside, but you're not really doing them. That's what he's getting at. In the gospel, unless you are not like the Pharisees of the day, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's a harsh saying. Personally, I think designed more to sit there and explain to us that we cannot survive, we cannot live without being in the Word of God. It is not wrong that we recognize sin. We all have it. We should talk about it. We should understand it. We should understand what sin is, both in modern times and especially scripturally. The breaking of God's law. You can't do chaos math without first understanding what Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies calls gazintas. You guys know what that means, right? And a couple of you. For those that don't, 8 goes into 16 two times. It's a different way of saying divisions. We have to have the basis. We have to have the basis of understanding. Scripture is our basis from which all of our faith is built. Just like math or science, there are times that are going to be difficult for us to understand. There are times where we are going to hit spots that we are really bad at. We're going to hit times of seeing things that we don't like. Perfect example, again, using my volleyball experience. I remember learning how to dive for a volleyball. How to actually make a save. When I first learned was at a volleyball camp. And I had failed so many times that I had a huge knot on my elbow. That they made me put a knee pad on finally because you couldn't even touch it. It hurt that bad. They thought it was going to have to be drained They took x-rays to make sure that I hadn't broken it. And I would practice going after a volleyball, and I'd try to learn how to dive, and I would slam that elbow on the floor, and slam it on the floor, and slam it on the floor. Cuts and bruises like you would not believe. And then one day, I didn't want to hit my elbow anymore. And I learned how to dive. And at the time, I was 6'9". But I learned how to, without hesitation, take my 6'9", 200-pound frame, throw it 5 feet in the air, 10 feet across the floor, save a volleyball, slide, and pop back up to my feet. Less than a second. No knee pads, no scratches, no hitting, no nothing. I had to endure the pain to get to the promise. I had to endure the pain to become even better. Through that process, it's very rare to be able to get a volleyball past me. I approach my faith the same way. I'll take the beatings, I'll take the hits. I'm willing to live into those uncomfortable moments because it makes me better. It makes me stronger. It makes me more able to demonstrate and talk about the things that I need to talk about with people that I need to talk to. I don't expect you to walk in to a movie like The Chosen and immediately know who all the characters are. But I expect you to know it by the end of the episode. You've had all the little keys. You've had all the little understandings. You've had all the little idiosyncrasies that actually define who they are. And if you fail, well, that's okay too. Congratulations. You've just received a giant contusion on your elbow. What are you going to do to avoid doing it next time?